You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Teresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson and this is episode 106. Thank you for listening to yet another show. Now, as you know, four out of five of our shows roughly involve having a guest come on the show, and that guest brings a dream and we interpret the dream and the guest responds as to how the dream reflects their waking life. And I know that that's what everybody loves The Dream Show for, listening to the guests come on the show. But from time to time, we ring the changes, and today is one of those changes. Can you hear the bells ringing? I've got three things for you today. One is a little review of a project that I was involved in last month. It was nothing to do with dreams, but I had some kind of major insights while doing that project that I thought you would probably enjoy hearing. So that's a little bit lighthearted, and we're going to start with that. And then I'm going to bring you a very, very, very short dream that someone once put onto our old dream forums in the old days when we had the forums on our dream website. A very, very short dream. And I'm going to show you how to break it down and how to ask the right questions and how to look at it from different angles to really understand it. So there's lots of tips to be gained from that. And that's kind of quite a deep and meaningful analysis of a dream. And after that, I'm going to leave you with a very light-hearted dream interpretation tip. It's so easy to do. It's a bit of fun and it works 99% of the time when you're looking to understand the meaning of a dream symbol. And for those of you listening in and thinking, oh, she's going to give us a dialogue, I'm not. It's something else. So before we go in, just a reminder of the usual places to find me and to find more on dream interpretation. There's my website at www.dream.net.au, where there are lots of free resources and also details of how to contact me confidentially for, to interpret your dream or a range of other services. And of course, to visit our dream shop. Don't forget the dream shop, books, ebooks, e-courses and stuff. And you can also find me on my blog at www.janeteresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. And of course, you know how to find me on Facebook. That said and done, here's the story that I promised you. It's called It Can't Be That Hard. And I actually wrote this up on my blog last month. So if you've already read it, apologies, but hearing it always delivers a slightly different version. Same words, but, you know, you hear it differently when you hear the spoken word. So here we go. It can't be that hard. The alchemists of old spent years working out how to transform base metal into pure gold. I, of the modern dream alchemist variety, spent 4 weeks working out how to transform a ripped, moldy lampshade into something beautiful enough to stand in the corner of my friend's room and shine a golden light. Now, this may be something you know how to do, but all I had was a vision and the feeling, once I got lampshade frame home, that I had taken on a task way beyond my capability. It was a standard lamp, but not your average standard shape. It was vintage, 1920s, I guess, a dome shape with scalloped edges and a fringe. You choose the fabric and fringe, I told my friend, and I'll recover it for you. It can't be that hard. I should watch the words I speak. It can't be that hard instantly impresses the word hard. Either I knew it would be hard, or it became hard because I spoke the word. And then there were those other words. I'll recover it for you. Perhaps I should have watched those too, I thought, as the challenge lay in pieces before me, seemingly impossible. I could have said, I'll get it recovered for you. My vision was simple. The old fabric had been applied in two halves, so all I had to do was cut two halves, stretch them over the frame, join them up, and sew on a fringe. I soon discovered the fabric didn't give that way, and the old fabric had been glued, not sewn. A glue for a complete beginner in the lampshade covering arts was not a good plan. I needed to be able to undo my mistakes. I cut smaller templates that failed. I Googled how to cover a lampshade and learned that for this particular shape, it was best to get a professional to do the job. I contemplated giving up, sending it to a professional, or just buying a replacement, but a strange thing happened. Each time I contemplated giving up, and there were many, a solution presented itself. Sometimes the solution was instantaneous and what had just seemed impossible was suddenly fixed. Sometimes the solution appeared as soon as I opened my eyes in the morning, presented by a puzzle-solving dream. The process seemed familiar as I leapfrogged through the work, alternately making progress, meeting a seemingly impossible bit, contemplating giving up, receiving magical solution, carrying out the next step. It took me back to several times in my life when I felt overwhelmed by challenges far bigger than covering a lampshade, times when I felt like giving up, times when solutions suddenly appeared. I realized all those past challenges rewarded me with personal and spiritual insight. And looking back, I see they all opened doors and led to places that would otherwise have remained closed to me. The more I thought about this, the more I realized that in those past challenges and in the making of this lampshade, I didn't actually give up. I let go. I released the old way, or vision, and opened up to seeing a new way. I surrendered. And when you surrender, miracles happen. Even little miracles like, finally, over the Easter weekend, finishing the lampshade and delivering it to my friend. As the alchemists of old knew, it's not about whether base metal can be turned into gold, and given the present state of technology, it can't. It's about what you learn about yourself, personally and spiritually, along the way. It's the old, the journey is more important than the destination thing. Life is such a journey. My challenge had been infinitely smaller and entirely due to my complete novice status, but it presented me with a perfect reminder of the value of surrender and trust. It may be my first and last lampshade recovering exercise, and I'm sure my big mouth will present me with further challenges from time to time. I hope next time that I might say, it's easy, rather than, it can't be that hard. And if I forget to choose my words, I will remember to surrender to life's alchemy, to hold up a lamp, to light my way. What have life's big and little challenges taught you? And now onto the dream and the deep interpretation that I promised you for a little dream. And I actually wrote this one up in November 2008 as a Dreamsite article, but I took it from a dream. It was Angela's dream. Angela had posted to the Dream Forum that we had the Dream Forum going for 4 or 5 years. Way back, I think it was from 1999 to 2003 or four on the old website. And people posted dreams, and I selected this one from back there because it was short and full of energy, and because it gives a beautiful example of how to approach even a short dream. Angela's dream, she called it horse eyes. And here was her dream. I was curled on the ground, quite fearful. A blonde horse was about to come down on my neck with its hooves. I peered up at it, uncertain whether or not I should catch its eye. The deliberation was while the hooves were in the air over my head. I caught its eye. It looked angrier. But I couldn't tell if I'd done the right thing or not, and I woke up before the outcome. And Angela added, I'm wondering if the horse's passion energy, in a dream only a days before that, words came saying, you have the passion, you just have to think. So there we are, a very short dream. And when I wrote this up as an article for Dreamsite in November 2008, this is what I wrote, and I hope that you'll find this helpful in how to approach some of your own short dreams. Animals in our dreams often represent our instincts and raw energies. Your dreaming brain has picked a blonde horse to represent the instincts and raw energies you were experiencing at the time of your dream. How would you describe the energy of a horse? How would you describe its instincts? What do you feel is the difference in energy between a blonde horse and a black horse? Have you ever owned or ridden a blonde horse? How would you describe its energy or personality? Ask yourself these kinds of questions to identify what instinct or raw energy this horse represents for you personally. And you mentioned passion. Many people see horses as passionate creatures. Perhaps passion is the instinct and energy your horse represents in your dream. But in your dream, your horse was angry, and it seemed even angrier than you had thought when you caught its eye. Or did it get angrier because you looked it in the eye? What makes a horse or a person angry? If your horse does represent passion, why isn't it running and expressing its passion for life? Why is it angry? Why aren't you running and expressing your passion in some area of your life? Why are you angry? What is thwarting your expression of your passion? Why is anger the only recourse? Do you feel unable to let your passion flow? Is there something you need to say, to speak up, to open communication channels so that you can free your passion? The neck is a communication channel. It houses the throat, the voice box. It's the place from which you speak out, but if it's crushed by a horse's hooves or by anything, you cannot speak out, cannot communicate. The neck is also a communication channel symbolically between the head and the heart, as it's midway between the two. So you can imagine your thinking, head, and your feeling, heart, meeting and melding here to create a balanced viewpoint which you can then communicate. But we don't know whether the horse's hooves were going to come down in your throat because you woke up before the outcome. Seeing the horse's anger, acknowledging it by meeting it eye to eye, might have been sufficient for it to pull back. What anger did you need to acknowledge at the time of this dream? How did this anger relate to your passion? Does acknowledging or admitting this anger free you up to express your passion more? Is it enough to see that anger has been causing you to hold back, and can you now let that anger go and get on with flowing with your passion without anger blocking your way? Or does admitting this anger free you to express it in some way, you know, to write about it, speak it, sing it, so that it energizes your passion? At the start of your dream, you were in fear. Being curled on the ground, you were in the fetal position. So this fear either goes back to childhood or drives you to seek comfort in pre-birth experience, the ultimate safe comfort zone. You were on the ground, perhaps feeling grounded, definitely not getting anywhere. The horse was going to come down on you with its hooves. That's three references to the ground or down. Ground, down, feeling ground down maybe. Hooves, hooves are the horse's contact point with the ground. Everything in the opening sentence of your dream is about being grounded down or ground down by fear and being about to be crushed by your passion, which is feeling angry. Why do you fear your passion? Why is your passion angry with you for feeling fear and staying grounded, not getting anywhere? There's wonderful courage in your dream when you peer up at the horse. Now, dreams do use wordplay, and I wonder if this is a peer issue. Have you felt thwarted or belittled by your peers? Do you feel like a fearful child, you know, the fetal position, compared to your peers? When you gather the courage to peer at this angry passion in your dream, are you gathering the courage to face your fears and allow yourself to be equal to your peers? There's that moment of deliberation in your dream when the horse's hooves were in the air over your head. And at the time of this dream, what were you pausing to deliberate? What was in the air or undecided for you? What seemed over your head, perhaps? Deliberation, A moment to pause and look at this angry passion in the eye may have saved your neck and head from being crushed. Do you let your anger, unspoken, neck-crushing, passion-crushing anger, crush your thinking? Putting that another way, are your thoughts and how you act on them affected by your angry passion? You may not be expressing your anger or your passion in the world, held back by fear, but your dream suggests that these energies are expressing themselves internally, crushing your thinking. Your dream suggests that a moment to deliberate, a moment to think, a moment to courageously acknowledge and admit anger, perhaps in a peer issue, may change the outcome. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that changed outcome saw you riding that horse, all anger gone, working with it to express passion and get somewhere rather than get nowhere through fear? Isn't it interesting that this fits with your dream of a few days before, where the words that came to you said, you have the passion, you just have to think. When you look into a person's or animal's eyes in a dream, you are meeting yourself eye to eye. That's like capital I to capital I, since everything in a dream represents something about you, the dreamer. Whenever you meet yourself eye to eye, you know yourself more deeply. Knowledge is wisdom and power. Instead of fearing your angry passion, pause, deliberate. Think about how it is operating in your life, affecting the way you think. Then notice how doing this inevitably changes how you respond, what you do next. In the dream, you couldn't tell whether you'd done the right thing or not. Where did you feel this in your waking life in the day or two before the dream? This gives you a clue, as this was the situation where you did begin to face your fear, anger, and passion. In doing this, you stepped out of your comfort zone and opened yourself to a possible new outcome. What previously felt to you the right thing to do had shifted. Your old right and wrong goalposts had changed. Isn't it amazing how fear determines what we believe to be right and wrong? And I also, on that dream forum and in the article, gave Angela a dream alchemy practice to go with that dream, and it was a visualization. And this was it. Harness your passion by harnessing your dream horse. Visualize yourself back in the dream, only this time look the horse in the eye. Watch him stop, think, and replace his hooves on the ground as his anger dissipates and drains away into the earth. Visualize yourself standing up and springing onto his back, holding his harness, whispering soothing words to him, then riding off together as one with your horse, as one with your passion. Summon up all the positive feelings you would like to feel when you allow your anger-free passion to take you to where you want to be. And as usual, I advise that Angela do the visualization 20 times a day for a week, 10 times a day for the second week, and twice a day for the next month. And how does this work? It ensures that change occurs for you in the best possible way. It's a positive healing transformation. Your dream expressed your waking life situation using dream language, the language of your unconscious mind. And by reliving the dream with changes, or by transforming one of the dream symbols, or by reliving and intensifying the dream in the case of a dream with a positive ending, you are using vision and feeling to reprogram your unconscious beliefs. So that's how to go, or one of many ways, how to go into a very, very short dream and really pull it apart. And I hope that you might have got a couple of tips from there about how to approach some of your own dreams, or maybe just a bit of insight about the driving forces of anger and passion and other little things that came up there. And finally, as promised, a very light-hearted dream interpretation tip to take away with you, but one that works, you know, 99% of the time. And this is actually from my book, 101 Dream Interpretation Tips, which you can buy at my shop, and which last month we also made into an ebook. So you can buy it as a paperback or an ebook. But that's not why I'm reading it to you. I'm reading it to you because I think you'll like this tip. So although there's 101 tips in the book, this is tip number 14, and it's called Teach an Alien. How weird is weird when it comes to dream symbols? Everyday things like a picture frame, a purse, or a paperclip may not be weird in themselves, but weird in the context in which they appear in a dream. A picture frame would be a weird symbol to meet in the middle of a desert, for example. One approach to working out the meaning of an everyday item in a weird dream is to imagine explaining its use to an alien. For example, a picture frame is used to enhance your view of a picture, to draw your attention to it, and to get you to focus on it. I mean, that's what I would say. You would say something different, and that's the important thing. From this, you might decide the picture frame in your dream was a perfect symbol for focus, drawing attention to something in the dream you needed to focus on. Or you might explain the use of a purse to an alien, saying, it holds valuable personal things you need to keep safe, like your ID and credit cards and the key to your car and home. In saying this, you might decide the purse in your dream was a perfect symbol for protecting my personal identity, or protecting the key to my personal life and who I am. Now it's your turn. Have a go at describing the use of a paperclip to an alien. Different people will come up with different descriptions, but if you have actually dreamed this symbol and it's fresh on your mind, you will discover that the words you choose provide an amazingly accurate clue. Here's my take on paperclip. It's used to hold pages together in an order that can be changed later. If I had dreamed of a paperclip, I might conclude that it was a perfect symbol for temporary arrangement or something that can be changed later. The alien might still be scratching his head, but you stand to gain new insight into this everyday world you thought you knew so well. So there you go. That's a very simple technique to apply for everyday symbols that appear in your dreams in the strangest of places. And they so do that, don't they? So next time it comes up, wake up, tell an alien what the thing is usually used for, and listen to what you say, and you will be surprised and amazed at how it usually delivers straight into your interpretation and gives you very clear insight into what your dream is about. So a bit of fun to play too. And I bet, dream or no dream, that you walk away from listening to this and at some point today you look at something and you think, how would I describe how to use that to an alien? And it's worth doing that, just giving yourself a bit of practice around the house or around at work or around outside and just looking at things and saying, how would I describe to an alien how to use that? And the more you get into the flow of that, you can then, when you wake up from a dream, apply the same technique and you know how to do it. So I hope that was a bit of fun. As usual, if you'd like to be a guest on the show yourself, all you have to do is email me and we take it from there. It simply takes 30 to 40 minutes of your time. It's free, of course. The whole show is free. Everything about the show is free. And you get to both enjoy a dream interpretation and also contribute to everyone listening. And you don't have to use your own name. You can be confidential as well. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. A reminder again of the websites dream.net.au, janetheresa.com, or find me on Facebook. Have a wonderful week. Enjoy speaking to those aliens, and I'll meet you next week for another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.